I hope this makes sense to you. We serve a good God. He loves us and cares for us. I don't think we can ever understand just how much that He loves and cares for us. And I believe that He's a dynamic God, a living God. And I'm a person that likes to see proof of things. And if someone comes and tells me, "Brother Marty, I got saved," well, I'll take it. I'll say thank the Lord for it. But I always want to ask the question of what that meant to you, because it's supposed to make a difference. I want to know how you're different now than you were before you got saved. If someone comes to me and tells me I got the Spirit, well, I want to say, well, what was the difference between you now and then? Because I have an expectation. God's dynamic and He does something. And He works something. So I look at it in that sense as I deal with the Lord about myself. I ask myself a question. Am I different than I was before? I think the Lord wants to do something for us. I also believe that we're on a journey, though, and that the Lord is continually wanting to make a difference in our lives. I think the Lord wants to make a difference in your life now. I also think that we get sidetracked from the points and the principles and the ideas of what God really does want for our lives. And sometimes we get a misunderstanding of God and we don't really even understand what God is or what He's trying to do or what the nature of God is. I'm always thrilled when I learn something more about the Lord. And I'm always more impressed by Him when I learn something than I was before, because it's always good. He's magnificent. He always wants something for us. And do you know that the Lord wants, I can tell you tonight, the Lord wants you to prosper. It's a characteristic of God. He loves you and He wants you to prosper. He wants you to do as well as you possibly can do. He wants to maximize this effort of ours and make it the most that we can get out of it. That's what the Lord wants. You know, the Lord really don't want us to just have the necessities. I know there's a notion sometimes that if you live for the Lord, you ought to live on the bare minimum. Really? No, not really. God don't want us. I'm a father. I have children. And I've never just had a desire that they just had enough to get by on. I mean, what do you mean new shoes? They ain't completely wore out yet. I mean, the shirt's a little ragged, but it still covers. Come on, what do you need another? What do you need more for? I never thought that way. Do you think that way? I mean, come on, honey, really? Another outfit? I mean, do you really need all those shoes? I mean, I say the same thing for myself. Do you know God is bigger God than that? God don't want us just to have the necessities. And we will look at comfort sometimes, and the devil will bring guilt to comfort. Why would God not want me to be comfortable? I think God's a big enough God to bring comfort. I know I want my children to be comfortable. I want my children to have things that mean something to them. I want them to have, and this is my message tonight, I want them to enjoy life. And I want to work with it a little bit tonight. God is a big God. And He wants His children to go to heaven with Him. He wants to make us worth that through Christ. He wants to make the best He can get out of it, but He wants us to enjoy our existence in God. And I want to say this. Do you enjoy your salvation? Oughtn't I enjoy my salvation? God made a world that tells me He could have made it a lot less beautiful. He could have made it a lot less magnificent. He wouldn't have had to put nearly the flair or color or things in it that He did. He wouldn't have had to done all that if He just wanted us to have the bare essentials. But He made a world that shows me a sky to look at. He put beauty in everything. He put fish in the creeks. He did that for me. He put white tails in the mountains for me. You may say, as Christians we shouldn't enjoy God's world. If anybody should enjoy God's world with a praise on their lips and glory in their heart to that, it ought to be us. I mean, thank God for the extra. I thank God for every color, for every animal, for everything that fascinates, for everything that you wonder about. I thank God for the limitlessness of His creation. I mean, He made it so I can hardly begin. Why would He do such a thing? Because God isn't just a bare necessity God. That's why. And He wants you and I to enjoy not only our salvation, He wants us to enjoy life. And when He comes, folks, listen, He comes dynamically. He comes as God. And it's got to make a difference. There's things about salvation that you and I may not get to because we don't understand, but God makes a difference in our life. The Lord came to give us joy. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's what the Lord came. I got a definition for you. Joy is a delight of the mind. From the consideration of the present or assumed approaching possession of a good. Joy is almost like, and I'm not very smart, but it almost seems like joy is, well, it said of Jesus that for the joy that was set before Him. It's like joy is this idea of this delight of the mind, of the expectation of getting or gaining a good. We have joy in our hearts because of the approaching heaven that we get to go to. It should never dim in our hearts. That's our reward. That's what we get at the end of this life. No matter what this life is, we have the expectation or a joy that's set before us of being able to obtain something that's eternal, something good that never fades, that's holy and right and everything that you can put in it, the ultimate place for the human soul to be. Why wouldn't I joy at that or have a delight at that? This should never dim or darken. That's what the Lord give us. But I haven't enjoyed it. Enjoy, the prefix in, is like encircling it or capturing it. You take joy, but you don't get a hold of joy if you enjoy it once you get it. Well, I've not been to heaven yet. But I have enjoyed the earnest that the Lord's given. I pray that the Lord help us to enjoy life. Enjoy family. Enjoy friends. Enjoy God's planet. Enjoy our salvation. Enjoy what the Lord came to give us. Because it's the greatest of all gifts. It's the best that you can get. We should enjoy life. Now there's things that tear joy up. Sin is awful on the human. I mean, wickedness is bad. It tears down any hope of good or delight. I want to invite everybody to the joy of the Lord. To the expectation, the delight of something that's going to happen of the mind. A contentment and joy. A delight of my mind of things that's going to be well. Because I know in God. I can have a joy because I know in God. If I pursue His path, I know that I'm going to get a hold of it. I'm going to be able to get my hands around joy, and that's when I say, I'm enjoying this. I am enjoying this. I want to look at a scripture to start out with in 1 Timothy. I think of messages when I sit before a minister. I think of the message many times, almost always, this way. Lord, what are you saying? Now, if you think about that the Lord would do such a thing, if you'll look past me, which you should, and the fumbling, mumbling way I'll do it, and really hear the essence and believe that God, our mighty God, is speaking to us something. As your Father, I want to say to you, I want you to be happy. And I want you to enjoy the life I give you to the fullest. The best way I could do it was send my Son to you, that I could grant to you the enjoyment of life. I mean, think about it. The Lord is saying to us, enjoy. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of what the Lord has done. The old devil's got people messed up. They got a completely warped idea of things in this world. There is scripture in 1 Timothy 6 and 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, here's some counsel for the rich. You know, Jesus said to a rich man one time, he said, go sell all that you have. Paul didn't tell Timothy to do that. Paul told Timothy, this is the way to deal with those that are rich in this world. Go tell them not to trust in them riches. I concur. It's a danger to do it. It won't do what it promises you to do. It won't do it. But at the same time, he said to them, "Who give the God that giveth to enjoy all things." You know what he was saying? Now, let's get our minds right. It means I shouldn't be jealous of a rich man. That if he's got that, he can enjoy it. You know, you can do some very enjoyable things with money. It's a joy to us to help somebody. Should you be ashamed of what you do to get it? If you've done it honestly? It's the reward of God. It's the way God made things to work. It's the way it works. The ant knows he does better when he labors for it. Should an ant not be able to eat of his own stuff? He worked to get it. Should a bird not do it if he stood for it? Sure, he should do it. I mean, for what we put into it, we ought to do. And he says here, for this passage, he says that they should, the God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You know, we ought to be able to enjoy this life. Is it all right that I enjoy God's rivers? Is it okay for me to enjoy God's mountains? He gave them to us to enjoy. Is it all right that I enjoy my family? Is it okay that I enjoy the natural things around? How much more than I ought to enjoy the plan of salvation? How much more should I enjoy what God's doing? If He says here of this money, He goes on and gives them some counsel. But the idea of it is in our world, it's so wrong. It's so wrong. You look at people with money and somehow if they go buy them a new car, somehow they're extravagant. Well, there is those kind of things. But the only thing you can do with money is do something with it. Honestly, what else can you do with it? I mean, you can sit around and stack it and count it every day and run your fingers through it and let it fall through your fingers and all that. But honestly, you're supposed to enjoy it in God, in godly ways, to be able to enjoy life and do things with it and to go see or do something. I want to get somewhere with this, folks. But really, we got such a bad... we're taught today that there's some kind of a criminal activity if you add something, or you're not spiritual enough if you do this. And so sometimes we hide our intentions because we don't want somebody to think I spent my money doing this or doing that. Well, God, give it to me to enjoy. And I care about the poor. I know there's things that we got to do. It's a different message, though. God wants us to enjoy. Be responsible with what He does. Love God. And enjoy it. Enjoy what we have and what we can do. And you know what? I find joy, the delight of my mind, to think about going out and telling people about Jesus. I need to enjoy that. You see what I'm saying? We had the joy of the idea of having new converts here in this congregation. We have a joy for that. We need to enjoy that. We need to get our hands around that. And we'll enjoy that when they come. We'll enjoy the efforts. Because there is a dynamic that the Lord has placed in His creation of the way things are. And God takes the credit for the rich and the poor. Do you know that? Made them both, saith the Lord. Made them both. I made the way it is. It's the way it will always be. I was talking to a lady one time, and she told me, we got to talking a little political. It was a little political. She made a comment about, it's kind of a what's called social justice type thing. And she says to me, she said, you know, I just have a problem. She said, I wish there was just a more, a better way of it being equal with people. That there would be an economic equality. And I said, you know, I read this one time or heard it. But they say if you take all the money that of the United States, take everybody's money, and then split it out among everybody equally, in 10 years, the ones that had it will have it again. Well, I believe it because there's people that just work a lot harder than I do. There's people that put passion and desire, and they know how, and they would. Some people would blow their money and have nothing, and they would give it to the ones that had the things that they wanted to blow it for. And these guys would be partying, and these guys would be working hard to get their money. And it's the way it is. It really is the way it is. But there's consequences to these kind of things. But you know what? There is the Lord, our God, is a loving God who cares about His children as much as we care, more than we care about our own children. I want my children to be happy, fulfilled, comfortable. I want them to have good quality lives with everything in there. I know it isn't all about the flesh. Sometimes there's sacrifice and there's pain and there's things that bring real, true enjoyment. But the Lord wants us to have that, and God works for that in our lives. So Lord, help us that we would learn how to enjoy salvation. Now, I'm talking like an old man because I'm getting to be an old man. And so days are different than they was when I was in my 20s. I'm cherishing time better. Just a lot better. Because I see the end running too close, coming around. You know what I'm saying? So now I start to say, regularly me and my wife will say things like, let's quit wasting time. Let's enjoy every day, honey. Honey, let's get to we make quality days out of every day, because I see too many of them being, I'll get at the end of it and say, I think that was wasted. It was something I could have done, more I could have done, those kind of things, because I'm so much limitation on it. So Lord, help us. I want to read some scriptures in Ecclesiastes 2:24 says, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. 3:13. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. 5:18. Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all of his labor that he hath taken under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. And you know, there's a scripture in Leviticus, I believe, that said, give them certain instructions and said so that they could enjoy the inheritance of their fathers. That they would take certain actions. All of these things are leading me to this idea that there is value. That God is taking credit. This is the gift of God. Now, several years ago, took on a project to build me, I wanted to do it all my life, to build me a log cabin in the mountains. Why? You may say, would you do such a thing? For the joy that was set before me. I had a very delightful thought in my mind of sitting in a log cabin with a fire that I could see, fireplace or a stove with a glass, and the snow flying, and me sitting in my cabin in the mountains, and I had a thought of my family being there and all that. So that for the joy that was set before me, that mine, that I would be able to put my hands around it. But it wasn't built yet. But for the joy of it, I took on a project. And I got some blisters doing it. And I sweated and ripped at my skin a few times and smashed my fingers a number of times. I cut myself a few times. I labored and I worked with always the joy that set before me. I always did it with the expectation. I enjoyed working, but I didn't build it because I enjoyed working. But I didn't enjoy working that much. For nothing. I enjoyed for the accomplishment. I had something set before me that I was working for. I wanted to see the accomplishment of it. Folks, salvation would be much more enjoyable to us. We'd be so much further enhanced to us if we would have a vision of the accomplishments that God wants to do. What He wants us to do, where He wants us to get to. For the joy that was set before me, I wanted to be like Christ. And so for that joy, I labor, I work, I struggle, I strive because I want Christ in my life. I want to be like Him. And one of these days, as I go, I enjoy. I enjoy to be able to do it. See, I built a cabin. And my joy turned to enjoyment. I don't say I joy in my cabin. I enjoy my cabin. And you don't have it. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if you built one or not. But if you don't have one, it's because you didn't build one. And I got one because I built one. That's the way it works, folks. And you can envy me if you want to. And you can think of old Marty up there sitting back with his feet kicked back on an old snowy day with the fire burning in there and me sitting there reading a book. And you can say, he don't deserve that. But I have it because I built it and you don't have it because you didn't build it. It's the way it works. And this says that it should be this way. You should be able to enjoy the works of your own hands. Right? It's the way it works. Every year it's the same thing. I get firewood through the summer and fall. I get in all this firewood. I enjoy doing it. But I don't do it because I enjoy doing it. I do it because I want to be warm. And you might think, oh, Brother Marty's taking it awful easy. He's sitting in there by his fire. He's warm and cozy. Rest of us out here. I'm doing it because I got firewood. I'm doing it because I get the benefit of my labors. I never, folks, and don't get caught in this trap. Don't ever start envying people that have things that they work for. Oh, them old doctors living up there on Snob Hill. Living up there in the big mansions and all that. I didn't put 8 years of my life into going to school and doing all that. When it come my turn to do it, I said, not me. I'm not doing that. I'd rather dig ditches and live in my cabin than to be up on Snob Hill after to put 8 years on school. But they paid the price. And they ought to get the fruit of that, shouldn't they? Shouldn't they get that? See, our nation's, the world's trying to give us a whole different philosophy. God says that you should be rewarded for the works of your hand. It's a gift of God. It's what God does. So I want to say that and say it this way. It's the same thing spiritually. It's the same thing. You have not. You don't fulfill your joy. It takes something to fulfill your joy. Back a few months ago, back in the spring, we got the opportunity, had a business meeting, and said, what are we going to do with what we got? And we come up with the idea we're going to build a new tabernacle. And boy, it went grand. It went big. It looks good. And we done that. And so we all got excited for the joy that was set before us. Not the joy of what we had to do, so much as the joy of the project, the end of it. The vision of something. Well, we made a plan. And it was also, I'll just tell you, because there's nothing wrong with it, okay? We built this building that we're going to use for camp meeting, and it's going to double for a rec building for the young people. Because we want them to enjoy the works of their hands. It's a gift of God. It's good and wholesome and right. So we built, and the young people got the vision too, and so they got in there, and one day some young people were sitting around and they was talking, and they said, oh, just say what we can do in there. We can play this, and we can play volleyball, and we can do this, and my wife was there, and we can do this, and then she says, and we could have service in there too. Oh yeah, we could do that too. They worked. They carried block. They pulled concrete. They done all that. Our young people did. We know why they done it? For the joy that was set before them. For the idea of what they was going to be able to have and do. And you know that was accomplished? And this camp meeting, we got fulfilled. My joy wasn't volleyball. I hadn't hit the ball once. Well, I think I kicked it when it come over and about hit me. It's as close as I got to it. But I got my joy fulfilled, and I enjoyed that new building. I enjoyed our meeting in there. I enjoyed having it. It was a blessing to us. After the meeting was over, they got through. The young people said, sir, do you want us to put the seats? Well, boy, they're really active here. You want us to put the seats, get everything cleaned up? Yeah, meeting's over. We want to do that. And I wasn't thinking straight. And I was thinking, well, no, we can do it later. No, we want to do it. We'll put this all up. Well, okay, if you want to. So they cleaned it all up and all that. And in comes the volleyball poles. And they started a volleyball. And they enjoyed playing volleyball. We enjoyed watching them and fellowshipping around that. Folks, we have joy set before us. Self is supposed to bring something into your life. When we project ourselves to the world, it ought to be something that they could say, man, I'd like to have some of that. Look at these people. They're contented. Do you think salvation should bring contentment? Well, I think the Bible says it does. Should it bring peace? Well, it says it should. So, should it be enjoyable? I mean, should it be enjoyable to serve God? Shouldn't we enjoy without condemnation what God gives us? Shouldn't we be able to enjoy, we got joy set before us. Shouldn't we bring the realization to joy, of that joy, till we got our hands around it? And there is so much that the Lord wants us to accomplish and be. He looks down and says, no, I don't want you just to have bare minimum. I want you to have an excess. I want you to be overflowing with it. I want you to enjoy our services. I am totally against somebody getting up here and trying to drum up a spirit of excitement for the flesh. I'm totally against it. But I really am for the passion that moves us to enjoy what we're doing from our heart. Putting into it because I got a joy set before me. And if I do, if I've got it set before me and I put into it, maybe it'll take a while for me to raise that cabin up. But if I keep going, I'll see me sitting in it one day. And if I pursue God with this joy set before me one day, I'll realize that. I'll have the realization of it. I'll put my hands around that. And I'm going to enjoy that presence of God. I'm going to enjoy what God does in my life. Maybe it takes a long prayer. Maybe it takes some sacrifice. But with that joy set before me, I'm going to see that person saved. I'm going to be able to have my arms around their neck. I'm going to see their salvation. I'm going to enjoy them being a brother of mine. See? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He suffered the shame. For the joy that was set, there was something set before him. He went gladly. He went willingly. He loved doing the will of his God. But that wasn't it. The joy was the bride that he would get. That's what it was. It was us and the bride that he would get someday. That he would enjoy. And joy is then encapsulated into enjoyment. So Lord, help us in our pursuit of God. We should, Lord help us, come to service like we mean it. We should pray like we mean it. We should sing like we mean it. For the joy that's set before us, Lord, it's set before me and I want to go and get everything. I want to be Lord, when you come, you make things different. I want to be different at the end of tonight's service. I want to know that something's different than when I walked in, I walk out better. I come in one way, I go out another. Lord, I can say I enjoy. I'm going to start to testify to this. I can't testify for everybody, but I'll testify for myself. The last night of our meeting, we just kind of turned it into a sing our way to the end of it. I told the minister, brother, if you got a burden, don't let us get in your way. And I told everybody, this is free. We're going to sing. You got to testify. Singing started. And I was going, whoo, Lord, you're going to have to help us here. And I'm going to tell you, that got blessed. That service got blessed. And it just seemed like it got more blessed and more blessed. And I'm telling you, by the end of it, it was just about hard to contain. It was getting so good. I enjoyed that service. Joy had met, had come together, and I was there now, not just wondering, Lord, if we put into this and if we do this, are you going to bless it? And there's a joy set there. There's a promise. But we got to put our arms around it, and we got to feel the Lord moving our service. And I'm going to tell you, it was blessed. And we had a couple friends of mine that's been visiting us come there, and they was there. And, oh, I'm going to tell you, they got happy, and it was good. I said, thank you, Lord. And he called me after the meeting, and we talked about 4 hours, I think it was, on the phone. And he was telling me how much he enjoyed that. He enjoyed it. He had a hope of coming. He had a joy that was set before him, an expectation of getting something, and it was mad and he enjoyed it. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to enjoy it. There's so much out there to do. You know, sometimes the old devil makes us feel like that we haven't got, that we're strange and we're different and we shouldn't say anything. Anybody, listen, the joy is set before us. The joy is set before us. It'll only be joy. It'll only be joy if you don't do something. I got a delight in the mind. That's good. I'd like to see these people. Yeah, that's good. But, you know, if we put something to it, we're going to be able to, in this life, I think God has more in this life. We like to say, and it's true, this life is fleeting. True. There's heaven to gain. True, all those things. But do you really want to live a miserable life here till you get there? I don't think salvation's miserable. I mean, it's a marriage with Christ. Can you imagine it? Imagine it this way. Hey, brother, you got married. How's your marriage going? Just like you expected. It's miserable, painful, and hurtful. Well, that's what your expectation for that marriage? What, just what you... That's what... Isn't that what it's supposed to be? No, it's not supposed to be that. It's supposed to be something that's enjoyable. Is that right? If you're married, is it okay to enjoy your marriage? Shouldn't you enjoy? You know, that's a gift of God. Before that, you've got this joy set before you of what marriage is going to be and family and all that. But you get to put your hands around it. And it becomes enjoyable. We're to enjoy these things in His life that God gives us that we're supposed to do. And it's so, if it's true naturally, I can't help from thinking that the same God that made it fingerprints is on our spiritual life and on our life with Him. That our joy can be fulfilled and our hopes and desires and everything, that I can put my hands around it. Folks, this is not to be just a facade. I neglect it. I shun it. It's not to be a facade. It's not to be hypocrisy. It's not to be something like, it's to be real. It's to be real. And it isn't something to be superficial or just something hoped for. It's something that's gained. It's gained here. Christ is real. And He works in our lives and He talks to us and He lives with us and He helps us. And that's the Christ that we live and He fulfills our joy and we begin to enjoy. And I want to tell you something about my cabin. I built it with an idea in my mind of being able to be in it. And I built it with the idea that I can invite you to it. And that's the truth. And so, you could fulfill my joy. Because I want to give it. I want to share it. Understand what I'm saying? This is what the Lord wants us to do with what we have. Impart it. Now, I've had very few that takes me up on that. But they've enjoyed it when they did. And I enjoy doing it. I enjoy putting a shopping cart back for someone. I enjoy opening a door for someone. I enjoy saying somebody, telling somebody about the Lord. I enjoy being able to deal with people. I enjoy it. I have a joy set before me. God gave me, done something for me that I never had before. The ability to do that. And it's a gift that God gave me, and I can make it the joy fulfilled by doing that. I want to see more people saved. I want to see more people find the truth. I want to see people more intense about the Lord. I want to see the Lord more in our services. I want to see the presence of the Lord. I want to see more motion in our services. Not a made up motion. I want to see our joy fulfilled. And that's enjoying God in all that He does. Because I want to tell you, He's a good God. And there's a lot to enjoy about God. If it's just nothing but sitting and feeling the moving of His Spirit. He's a good God. And there's so much to enjoy. Our people has lost this, and I want to testify to this. There's a man comes to our service. He listens to this, so if he listens to this one, his name's Mark Payne. He's a very dear friend of mine. And he loves the Lord. And he comes to our services, and the first time he ever comes to this service, he testified to me later about this when he came. He said, I met him a couple times down on the river, and he told me, I'm coming to service with you. And I said, okay. And so he came to service. He said, the first time I come to service with you, he said, I didn't know what to think. He said, the reason I sat so far back in the back was, he said, if you all got the snakes out, he said, I was gone. He said, when I come in and I looked up there and there was no piano sitting up there, he said, woo, he said, what have I got myself into? He said, I knew the quickest way to the door. He said, then you all started singing. He said, I never heard nothing like it. I said, after he told me what it meant to him, I said, thank you for telling me that. Because I felt what you felt 30 years ago. And I forgot. I hear it all the time. And I want to say this from his testimony. I said thank you, because I need to remind our people of something. You've got a gift of God. There's a joy set before you. You got an ability to touch people. A gift that can be used, that is way underused. This guy wants to hear it all the time. He will listen to it. He comes and actually says, when he comes, he gets our young people together. The girls can testify. He gets and say, "Will you sing me a song the way you all sing it?" He's not an isolated. I felt that 30 years ago. I sat in front of the first camp meeting that I ever went to Green Bank, and the saints started singing, and I was like, "Oh no, this testifies something going on. I've never heard anything like this." I don't know. Some people might explain it by the overtone in musical terms, but it sounds like angels singing to me. I want to say, folks, I had to work to build that cabin. And you're going to have to use your gift to be able to enjoy. You're not going to enjoy this like it's supposed to be enjoyed if we don't give what we got to give to do it. It takes something. And if you don't see it, pray that the Lord would help you. Because I'm going to say this. We can sing to one another until Jesus comes back. But we need to find ways to sing to other people that need to hear it. There's a lot of places that people would be touched if you'd use that gift, not haphazardly, just if I have to. If mom just insists, or somebody just says, but there's gifts. That God is more than that. God gives words at the right time, prayers that are anointed. God has His hands on us, folks.
Yes.
Oh, that our joy might be fulfilled and we can enjoy. I want to enjoy services. Don't hinder me. If God gives you a testimony, give it.
Amen.
In the Spirit of the Lord. Sing. Sing to the Lord. Sing your songs.
Amen.
In the Spirit.
Yes.
So that we can all rejoice. And we'll all be fulfilled and enjoy. And I'll say, man, there's no place like going to our services. Isn't that what we want?
Yes.
Don't we want to have something that our children then can say there's something there? We want to have something that we can invite a neighbor to with the assurance there's something there. We put our heart into it. This brother told me, he said, "One thing I have to say about you all, I appreciate so much. You all mean it."
Yes.
I had another guy that a couple come to our camp meeting this year, and he pulled me aside after I went to talk to him. He pulled me aside after, and this is what he told me. He said, "I've been to every church in this area. And I've been disappointed in every church in this area." He said, "But you all got something. You all got something." Said, "I could feel the Spirit. I could feel it in the songs. I could feel it in the ministering."
Thank the Lord.
So our joy is fulfilled. We was able. Thank God. I enjoy it, folks. I enjoy it.
Yes.
You know, I used to struggle. And still a part of my flesh will draw back from ministering. But I've learned something. God wants me to enjoy it. He wants the enjoyment, what accomplishes. There's times when I wouldn't accept it. I would not accept it until the Lord said, "You built a cabin and you enjoyed it. When you work for me, you can enjoy it. You can enjoy the accomplishment. Not you, it's me. And I can say, yes, yes." Well, I wonder. I had a wedding to perform. Oh, this is all right to say, but I had a wedding to perform on Saturday, so I performed it. And there's always a little anxiety. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? So I had a few little things, and I stood up, and the Lord started putting things in my mouth, and people started crying. People in the audience started crying. People started moving. And what God told me after that, He said, "Never heard it done like that. Never heard a wedding like that before. He said, brother, you do it like you mean it. Yeah. That's right. And what I said, I meant. And I wanted to mean it. And you know what I said? I come away feeling this real humble thought because I ain't worthy of the honor that people was giving me there in that little gathering. But it wasn't honor for me. It was God's honor. And I enjoyed God being honored. I enjoyed it. So I have to throw my hands up sometimes and say, flesh, get out of the way. This joy set before you. Can you sing? Somebody might say, you got a good voice. Glory to God. Let glory be to God. And enjoy. Enjoy the voice sing. Sing with enjoyment. Love the Lord and enjoy. There's so, folks, we miss out. We miss out by the enjoyment of the new comfort. Of those that say, thank you for touching me. And I may never see him again. I do that sometimes. There's people I never see again. I had a guy come up to me one time and he had got saved out of this Amish order. And he came up to me once and he said this. He said, what should I do? I feel the Lord pulling at me to tell the people in this group, tell them what the Lord's done for me. But yet I feel like that I ought to be in service, but I feel like this pull on me. I put my hand on his shoulder and said, Lord be with you. Lord bless him as he goes and tells his story. I'm not afraid to put somebody in the hands of God. A sincere soul that wanted to serve the Lord. Don't let me hinder you, brother. You want to sit around and listen to me? Go. And be blessed. And tell them what wonderful things the Lord has done for thee. He said, thank you, Brother Marty. And we'll go tell him. I never saw him again. And I hope he's still telling it loud and clear. But that ain't what I'm after. But there's so much I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that brother and his testimony. I remember a guy come to the altar at to get saved at one of our meetings. And the next year I seen this guy, didn't even recognize him. And he stood up. I said, I don't even know that guy. And he stands up and says, thank the Lord, I got saved last year in the meeting. And I was like, yeah. I enjoyed that. My joy was fulfilled. And I enjoyed that. I don't know what you got out of this, but folks, listen. We serve a good God. And He didn't make a world for us not to enjoy. And He definitely didn't make a salvation that we're supposed to enjoy it. It's supposed to fill us to the rim. It's supposed to be fulfilling in every way to us. Thank God for it. Lord, put something in your life. Glory to God for it. God did not give me ability to... I can sing. It's just that you wouldn't want to hear it. Singing is a relative term. But you know what? I know the Lord can bless it. He has before. And you know what? It's not a gift, though. Understand what I'm saying? It's almost mercy, but it ain't a gift. There's people that's got a gift. Use it. Too many of our... We don't run programs, folks. We want the Spirit to lead. But I pray a lot of times in services that I ain't led by. I do it from duty. And I can't help from thinking... Surely there's more gifts than this. And if there's not, God wants to. Find it. For the joy that's set before you. Find it. Find what God will do. You say, well, I can't. You can. Not only can you, you'll find great joy. You'll find enjoyment. You'll find that I didn't know I could do that in the Lord. The Lord anointed me and blessed me. Well, He's done it to me. I don't know why He wouldn't do it. He'll do it for you. But we get into this program. I know who's going to pray most of the time because we get in a rut of it. Break it. Break it. Amen. Allow the Lord to work in your life and it'll be enjoyable. So, let's give the Lord all of it and enjoy this life that has for it. Enjoy the gifts that God gives. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.